This is Taking Action Today with Michael Alder, episode 14. I'm hanging with a real estate rock star. What's up, everybody? Today I got Justin Williams in the studio here. This is absolutely mind-blowing what this guy has going on. He has systems in place so he could just sit back and he oversees everything, but he kind of structured his life around the whole 4-hour work week mindset. And what he's doing now, everything's running turnkey for him at this point. He's flipping properties, doing over 100 a year. Everybody's handling different sections of the business for him, and he just gives a yay or nay. He's already structured all the systems for it to be handled. So let's just get right into this and find out how he does this. Justin, welcome to the show.
How's it going, Mike? Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Now, you probably have the most mind-blowing seminar story I've ever heard in my life. If you're not too tired of telling this, would you mind sharing with the listeners?
No, yeah, absolutely. You bet. So I went to my very first real estate investing seminar 8 years ago in May of 2007. And I was blown away with all of the information I learned that weekend. It was just so much information. I'd never been to a seminar, didn't know hardly anything about real estate investing. And, you know, fortunately for the low price of just $15,000, this guy was kind enough to offer me this coaching program. So my wife and I felt like it was a no-brainer. He also was going to give a car, you know, to the individual as a Chrysler 300, to the person in that coaching program that showed the most improvement, I guess you could say. And so, you know, it was a no-brainer. This guy was going to teach us to make millions, and we're going to win a free car because I just felt like we could win. And it, you know, come to find out, we did win the car, but it was never delivered. He never sent it. Just like every other broken promise, we never got the car. So
that's so mind-blowing there. So let's back up a little bit. So you were like his number one student then?
Yeah, there were about 20 or 25 people in, you know, who joined his program at that seminar. And yeah, we ended up being the top students, you know, had the most success. He called it, you know, better your best, basically who was the most improvement, because I don't think he wanted to make it just whoever's the most successful, but that's kind of what it ended up being, really. So I spoke for him a year later at another seminar he did, and you know, there were three finalists, and I got up there and you know, nah, this might sound arrogant, but quite frankly, blew everybody out of the water, right? Like, it wasn't even a competition.
Nice.
And we got a trophy and a picture of him with the car, and I helped him sell other memberships because, you know, I was up there talking about the success I had. So these people were signing up because of me. And he said, hey, I'll send you the car. I don't have it with me, of course, because I didn't know who was going to win. And I said, no problem. I was excited. It was pumped, like one of the best days ever. And then the next week it never came. Another week didn't come. Weeks went by. Weeks turned into months. And he just never sent it. Never made good on his word.
And what a letdown. Did that discourage you from real estate investing after you had a car ripped out from under you?
No, I mean, it did make my, you know, I realized several months earlier that, like, you know, I don't think this guy is really doing real estate anymore.
He was a great talker then.
He was a great talker. And, it, you know, I wasn't too hurt about it. So, like, you know what, whatever. It's what got me started. I connected with some good people who've been able to help me, and I'm going to get this sweet car, you know, but definitely after that, I mean, I was like, okay, like I need to watch out for these guys. And, you know, unfortunately, I did sign up for another program. I spent about $40,000 in my first 2 years of trying to learn this business from, you know, people who promised the world and delivered really very little in return. So,
right. A lot of hype seminars. And I like to cover that too, because every one of us have been through that. So I always like to ask all the real estate guys what seminar you attended and, what was your experience with it? Because everybody's got a good story, but that one's just the craziest yet.
Yeah, fun stuff.
So you get into the market in 07. You made it through the big crash. Can you tell me a little bit about that and how you kept scaling from that point?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I didn't even know the big crash was coming. I just knew real estate was hot and it was the thing to do, right? So fortunately, I started out with wholesaling. So I would like, part of me wants to say I was just skilled, but part of me is like, I got really lucky. But there's something I talk about. I teach people about seven different ways that they can mitigate or minimize risk in this business, because I see so many people that they're afraid to get involved in real estate because they have fear. You know, they have this fear, number one, of what other people think of them. That's a whole other thing we can talk about. But they have a fear of losing money. And so I'm like, you know, having that fear, just realize it tells me that they don't understand some of the fundamentals. They don't understand several of the things you can do to minimize or mitigate risk in this business. So fortunately for me, without knowing, I started out with wholesaling, which is one of the best things you can do to really minimize that risk. And that kind of, I don't want to say it saved my bacon, because I felt like we would have been profitable on a lot of deals as well, but there's a couple in there that didn't quite work out and would have lost quite a bit of money on in those beginning years. And as to where now, if I lose money on a property, it's not the end of the world, because I've made a lot of money on a lot of houses. But back then I couldn't really afford to lose money on many properties without, you know, kind of being voted off real estate island, as they say.
So you started off in wholesaling. What was your strategies with that? Were you just selling contracts in the beginning?
You know, I didn't know what the heck I was doing, honestly. When I look back, I'm almost afraid to say this on the air, but I was probably doing so much bogus, illegal stuff without even knowing it. You know, quite frankly, I was following this guy who hadn't been in the business for 6 years. I mean, people were, but it's kind of cool too. I mean, just kind of blind ignorance, taking action and failing fast and making things happen. I was literally having tons of people deed their property over to me before I ever even owned the property. I mean, I guess I owned it because they deeded it to me, but
nice.
You know, yep. They were deeding me there because that's what this guy taught me to do. They were deeding their properties. I was working on the short sell. I had vested interest in the property and I was doing, you know, double closings. And so I didn't have to fund anything. I didn't have to come with any capital. I was wholesaling everything essentially. So it was pretty wild. And later on, I was like, yeah, probably shouldn't just be going up to random people and convincing them to deed their house to me. So,
well, you learn from it when we move forward, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But it was pretty cool. I mean, it just goes to show there's a lot of people that are nervous about talking to sellers or getting houses under contract. For crying out loud, people, I got people to deed me their house. Literally, I owned their house. It was pretty crazy. So
that's awesome. And that's one of the things I like to cover a lot too. You never know what people are going to say yes to. So who cares? Just throw something at them and you know, you never know what they'll agree to.
Absolutely. And a lot of times people, they say they can't, oh, I can't do that. I can't. Yeah. It comes across that you can't, you don't believe you can. They can hear in your voice. They can smell it. They can feel it. They can tell that you're not confident in what you're doing. You don't recognize the value you're providing to them. So of course you're not going to put those houses under contracts. You've got to believe in what you have to offer and that you're truly giving them value.
That's awesome. Thank you. You moved on from there to, were you doing rehabs at that point after the wholesaling?
So in 2010, I decided to do rehabs. A lot of things were changing in my business and the market. And I just realized I needed to make some changes. So in 2010, I gave, my best shot at rehabs, and it was okay, but it was a tough year. I only did a handful of deals that year. And at the end of 2010, I thought, okay, enough of this, you know, working hard and trying to figure out how to flip houses. I'm going to do this whole thing they call, passive income through, getting rental properties and trying to get out of the rat race, you know, financial freedom, all that good stuff. And that went really well for about 4 months. I acquired 12 rental properties. And it was like shooting fish in a barrel. I was like, oh man, I can buy these things all day long. I don't have to worry as much about the flip numbers. I was still making sure that there was equity in the properties, but I wasn't analyzing them from a different perspective. So that was great. However, after the 4 months, I totally ran out of capital. All my private money lenders ran out of capital and I didn't know what to do. I mean, I literally didn't know how I was going to pay the rent next month, the following month. And I had to do something. I had to do it quickly. A lot of people say, well, why don't you go raise more money? And it's like, you know, I needed to feed my family, right? Mm-hmm. So I sold 4 of the properties that I had not yet rented out yet that I had purchased and planned on renting out. And it was amazing. It was to my regret. I did not want to do this. But after selling those 4 properties, I made more money from those 4 houses than I would need to take care of my family for over an entire year.
Wow.
And it was the most relief I had felt in a long time. I was financially free for a year and I'd never known what it was like to feel that before. So, you know, part of me wanted to go back to doing the rental thing, but then I was like, you know what? Like, this is kind of cool. This is kind of fun. I thought, what if I could do this every single month? What if I could make enough money every month to take care of my family for an entire year? And then to take that to a whole nother level, I thought, what if I can create systems? You know, a lot of people say house flipping can't be a passive business, but I thought, why not? You know, I've read books like The E-Myth and The 4-Hour Workweek, and I knew that you could create a business, not just a job. And I got to work doing that. I thought, I can do this. Why can't I, right? That belief that we talked about. So I did. And then that year, we ended up flipping 60 houses, which was more than we had flipped the previous 4 years combined. So that changed everything. Changed my life, literally.
That's insane. So you move on to do 60 properties. You're financially free at this point. Can you break it down how you manage all that and just oversee it without losing your mind there with contractors and all the other fun stuff that comes with it?
Absolutely. I mean, so this could literally take, you know, days to explain every detail, but I'll try to do just kind of give you some of the best
tips. Give us a crash course there.
Yeah. So to me, first of all, you've got to spend most of your time on acquiring properties, in my opinion. That's where 90% of your time and effort really needs to go into. But it does take a lot of time and effort to buy properties. I mean, I remember when I was doing it myself, I would analyze tons of deals every single day and spend 60, 70 hours a week analyzing properties. So first off, if you are not spending a lot of time in your business prospecting for deals, or someone on your team isn't, you're not going to be successful. I mean, I have so many people come to me like, oh, I can't buy very many houses. How do you do it? And I'll say, how much time a week is you or your team putting into prospecting for deals? And they kind of skirt around the question and don't really want to answer it. I'm like, how many hours, how much time, how many man hours? And it's usually, oh, 2-3 hours. I'm like, burn, that's why. You know, you'll probably buy about a house a year with that amount of time. So you've got to figure out how to get more time into prospecting for deals. However, if you want to be a business owner and you want to enjoy your life, you know, be a lifestyle entrepreneur, you can't do it all yourself. You have got to get help. And a lot of people have a hard time with that. So that's the first thing I did. Well, one of the first things I did was I allowed and figured out a way to let other people do the legwork for me on the acquisitions. And so, if I have 5 people out there that are sifting through hundreds of properties for me, and then once they get them under contract based on my criteria, which I teach them in detail, then I can look at those houses and just say, okay, boom, they have it. It's like given to me on a silver platter, and I can just approve it. Now I'm to the point where I don't even have to do that. My assistant approves them. But as you get started, right, mm-hmm. You need to know your criteria. You first need to understand deal analysis, how to evaluate properties, and then you need to let other people be out there doing the busy work for you, doing the legwork, have agents, wholesalers, bird dogs, assistants, people working for you. Whatever, everyone's means are different. Everyone's situation is different. But that's what you need, one of the huge things you need to do. So that's on the acquisitions, all right? Now, then, as far as the rehabs go, I do not look at any of my houses ever. Not that I haven't ever seen any of them, but I just don't look at it. I don't remember the last time I've looked at a property. So how do we go about managing these properties? I'll give you a few tips on the management side. First off, I personally use all, I use general contractors, not subcontractors. My goal is to work with and talk to as few people as possible. We used to use subcontractors and it was a pain. You're working with like 10, 12 people per job. You're trying to coordinate with so many people. The less people you can work with, the easier life is going to be for you. I highly recommend using a general contractor. Not only do we use a general contractor, but we use one general contractor on several jobs. So they're managing several projects at a time. It allows us to only have to talk to one person instead of multiple people. So that's tip number one. Tip number two is we use a price list, but the first thing we do is we use a materials list. So basically, I'm not out there at Home Depot every day trying to pick out paint and flooring and fixtures. Quite frankly, I don't care. I hate to say this. Your listeners might get offended or sad. I don't really care that much about real estate. I don't care about houses. Real estate to me is a means to, I don't want to say a means to an end. I consider myself much more of a business owner. I am in love with systems and it's like a game to me, right? And the business that I have, the inventory, the product just happens to be houses. So to me, it's like a conveyor belt. Every single house we do, We use the same color paint. I should say 90%. There are the exceptions. We use the same color paint. We use the same kind of flooring. We use the same kind of carpet. We do similar landscape. We use the same fixtures. We have the SKUs. Our contractors know exactly what fixtures we use, what toilets we're going to put in, what countertops we're going to use. The exact same stuff. So we don't, these are all things that take so much time, and you've got to eliminate all this time waste. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we use a materials list. And the third thing we do, which most, I haven't heard anyone else who does this, is we use what's called a price list. So a price list, you know, many years ago when I started doing higher volume, it was like we're spending all this time having contractors bid on these properties, would get several bids per property, then would negotiate with them, and then they would do change orders, and then there was price creep. So I said, okay, enough. And I started to identify these patterns. Even though it took all this work, we started, we were paying about the same for each thing. And I was like, okay, we're paying roughly $1 per square foot for paint. And this was, you know, a few years ago. We're paying a little bit more now. But I was like, we're paying $1 per square foot for paint. We just don't look at it that way. You know, they tell us what we're going to pay, but at the end of the day, that's what we're paying. And I noticed the same thing for laminate wood flooring, for tile, for carpet. Roughly, it was about the same based on how big the project was, how big the square footage was that they were covering in the house. So for example, if it was a 1,500 square foot home, we were paying about $1,500 for interior paint and $1,500 for exterior paint. So I started to put all these numbers together and I came up with a price list and I worked with my contractor and said, look, this is what we're going to pay you. We're going to start paying you per square foot for the house. So if the house is 1,500 square feet, this is what you're going to get paid. You know, if you put in this much laminate wood flooring, this is what you're going to get paid. And they all agreed to it. It all made sense to them. And it's really saved them a lot of time. It saved us a lot of time. We only get one bid from now on from our main contractor. We don't even have to have him bid the project before he starts. He can get started, get things going. He sends us the bid because we already know what it's going to look like. My assistant, who has never done project management or construction in her life, can simply use the checklist. Say, okay, here's how big the house is. Here's how much they're putting of this. This is check, check, check. Looks good. Looks good. She gets them paid and we're off to the races.
You just gave us a full-on seminar there in 10 minutes. That was amazing.
And sorry, trying to get through it quick.
No, that's great. And I'm glad you covered everything with the contractors there, too, because that's the biggest problem, I think, with guys is the change orders and, you know, the upsells from the contractor. And that's where the investor gets burned in the end. So, I mean, that's a ton of great strategy you just gave us there.
I look at it as a partnership, right? Like, mm-hmm. We need to be on the same page. Like, if they want my business, I will give them all the business they can get. But don't tick me off. Don't try to increase your prices. Don't be dishonest or you're done, right? And we'll move on. So
on to the next guy.
That's right.
And speaking of all this seminar, you actually have your own coaching program. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So last year I started the House Flipping Mastermind group and the Fail Fast Flipping program, which encouraged people to embrace failure. Because I see a lot of investors that are afraid of failure. Oh, I made some offers and they didn't get accepted. I'm a failure. And I was like, no, you're not a failure. You took action. You got educated. You made it happen. Be proud of yourself. And it's going to be much easier the next time. And eventually you're going to find massive success from embracing that failure and just going for it. So what I did this year is we've rebranded. You know, we're doing our 2.0 version. And we rebranded to House Flipping Formula. You know, I've basically identified three different things that all successful investors do, successful house flippers do to achieve great success in their house flipping business. And that's what we've kind of built the program around. I call it the three C's of house flipping success. It includes content, corridor, and community. Content is basically all the fundamentals, all the things that you would need to know to be successful in house flipping, from understanding deal analysis to finding properties to how to raise capital to selling properties and much more. So that's the content. The next C is corridor. Corridor meaning you've got to enter the corridor. You've got to take action. Not only action, but action where it counts. So the goal is to teach you the fundamentals, get you taken action. We have a program, a challenge that we call the Biggest Flipping Failure Challenge, where you are awarded not for the success you have, but just for the actions you take. And what I've done is I've identified all the actions that people take that get some success. You don't get awarded points for finding a software or, you know, creating a business card. you know, you're getting points for being out there talking to sellers, hitting the streets, making offers, and making things happen. And what's funny is the two people who won the challenge last year also achieved a great amount of success. Both of them did several deals and made a ton of money at the same time. So that was great. Number three is community. And, you know, once you enter that quarter, you're going to have questions. You know, I see it all the time. People go to a seminar, they come back, they're jazzed, they're excited, but then they have questions, like literally on a daily basis. You know, you've got questions, you've got concerns, you've got doubts, you've got fears. You have people that are around you in your family or friends that don't understand what you're doing. So your community, you've got to surround yourself with mentors and other like-minded individuals who are on that same path as you, who can be there for you to lift you up, who can answer the tough questions for you. A lot of times they'll have someone in the forum group that literally has a house under contract or a house that they could get under contract that they have to give an answer within hours. And we're there for them to, you know, help them either make or save that thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. So that's what the program's all about. It's called House Flipping Formula, and we just cover it all. What I've done is I've actually, if anyone wants a free house flipping course, I've created a free house flipping course, a 4-video course. They can go to houseflippingformula.com to get it. And then what I do is I just teach them several of these fundamentals that we've talked about in the 4 videos. And then in that last video, I give you a blueprint. And I walk you through, you know, a roadmap of your house flipping business. And then we talk more about the program and how you can sign up if you're interested in that.
And that's amazing there. And that's a big thing too. When you leave the seminars, I know everybody's on that. You feel like you could be a millionaire tomorrow. 2 days later, you lose your drive and it's gone. So that's great. You have all the systems in place to keep people motivated, answer the questions, and keep them in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I got started, I knew what I needed. I knew I needed this coaching. I knew I needed this community. Unfortunately, I paid $40,000 for it, and it wasn't what I was promised. So what I've done is I've really turned that inside out. It hasn't been easy. It's been the hardest thing I've ever done. But I have created a community and a program that has absolutely everything you need, way more than I ever got, for way less, a lot more affordable. Because the truth is, you don't want to start out this business in debt. I mean, you want to be able to use that money for marketing or find out the ways that you don't need a lot of capital to get going. So that's what I've created. I've taken everything that I see others that are successful and everything that helped me and kind of combined it into this program at an affordable price.
That's amazing there. And speaking of marketing there, if you don't mind sharing, can you give us a little strategy you're using currently to move some of your properties?
So you're talking about for selling or
on the selling side? I got people reaching out to me like crazy because the Midwest and the East Coast selling cash flow properties has actually slowed down in our world. So a lot of people have been looking for strategy on that. I didn't know if you could share something there.
Well, we all know that you make your money when you buy. So that's first off, you've got. Mm-hmm. I can't solve a problem if someone didn't buy right. That's number one. So you got to buy right. Number two, it sounds obvious, but you got to make sure you're doing high quality work. You got to be doing good work. A lot of times, even when people go to list their properties, I see they don't use professional pictures. I mean, you've spent $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 on your rehab. Take professional pictures. Spend an extra $100, $150. Make those pictures shine. They've got to look good. Your description has got to be very detailed. The properties that sell for the most are the ones that have the best description. Paint a picture to them. You know, let them imagine living in that home, what it would feel like. So, you know, that's what I got there. And then other than that, you've always got to be adjusting something, you know, increasing, decreasing prices or doing something to get that on everyone's radar to where it's up there, bump it up, to where it comes up on the radar again, if that makes sense. When I got started, I didn't even use the MLS. I didn't even know I should be using it to sell properties. And I hustled, man. I would do flyers. I would knock doors. I did absolutely everything. I had on my car, it said, you know, houses for sale. I did it all. I mean, if you really give it your all, you can get these houses sold. Now it's got it. Once again, you can't sell a house that's worth $100,000 for $150,000, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got to do it the right way. And, but get out there, hit the pavement and make it happen.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that, Justin. You shared a wealth of knowledge with us today. Where can the listeners connect with you at?
Well, I have, you know, my website, houseflippinghq.com. There's tons of great resources there. My House Flipping HQ podcast. you can always email us at, you can email me at justin@househoppinghq.com. And based on your question, you know, it'll get redirected to, you know, the appropriate person. Sometimes people contact us with houses to sell. So that goes to my assistant, or you have my online assistant, or to myself if necessary. I'm a systems guy, right? I wish I could be that guy saying, no matter what you email me, I get hundreds of emails. I respond to them all personally. No, I mean, that's why I've set up my program, right? So that I can coach people in the best way, still manage my life, and live, you know, the life that we all strive for. And you've got to do that with purpose. So, but the best thing you can do right now that we're in the middle right now of our relaunch is go to House Flipping Formula and get that 4-video series. And if you're interested in our program, I mean, would love to see you. I'd love to have you there.
Justin, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate your time. This was an amazing interview.
Thank you, Mike. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening in today. For more tips on real estate investing and creating streams of passive income, stop by michaelalder.com or connect with me on Twitter at michaelalder34, or you can find me on Facebook. All right, everybody. Thanks, and let's take action today.